Gemara Sanhedrin Daf Tes Zayin discusses the relationship between a person and their money. So this is a topic that occurs in a number of places in the Masechta. Earlier on in the Masechta, around Daf Tes, the Gemara talked about Nogeya Bedavar and Baal Davar, and it suggested that a person is possible Le'idos, to say Eidos about his wife. You say Ein Adam Mesim Atzmei Rasha, the same way Ein Adam Mesim Ishtei Rasha. But if a person wants to say Eidos about his Shor, he's able to make his Shor into a Rasha. We don't say that Adam Karov Eitzel Memono the same way that Adam Karov Eitzel Ishto. That's Pashtos HaGemara, that a person is not considered to be a Baal Davar or Nogeya Bedavar when it comes to his money. However, the Ramah gives a very novel reading of that sugya and says that it's not true. He says, Be'etzem, a person is Nogeya Bedavar both when it comes to himself and his relatives and when it comes to his money. And the difference is only in human perception, that a person understands and realizes that he's considered a Baal Davar, regarding himself and regarding his family, and therefore whenever he says Eidos about them, knowing that he's a Baal Davar and that a Baal Davar is pasul le'Eidos, he doesn't intend to say anything about them betoras Eidos, but rather, says the Ramah, betora sicha ba'alma, just as conversation, not as testimony. However, when it comes to a person's mamon, so there a person doesn't realize that he's a karo of Eitzel Mamono, and therefore he intends to be meyed to say things about his property betoras eidos as testimony, and since he says things about his property as testimony, therefore we apply the rule of eidos shebatla miktsasa batla kula, that he's considered a nogeya bedavar vis-a-vis the part of his testimony which is relevant to his acts, and therefore he's considered a nogeya bedavar vis-a-vis other parts of that testimony that are irrelevant to his mamon as well. So according to this novel reading of the Ramah, a person is considered to be Karov Eitzel Mimono as well. Now, the Gemara on Ardaf talks about Ashar HaNiskal. We had earlier that Kemisas HaBailim Kach Misas HaShar, that if Ashar murdered a person, so then the Shar is judged with 23 Dayanim, the same way that a person who murdered is judged with 23 Dayanim. And that's derived from a Hekesh that says that Kemisas Bailim Kach Misas HaShor. And the Gemara on Ardaf has a Shaila, because we learned that if a Kohen Gadol commits a murder, so he's judged by a basin of 71 people. It's not enough to judge him with only 23 people. So the Gemara's Shaila is, what happens if the Shor of a Kohen Gadol killed somebody? Is he judged? Is that Shor judged with 71 people, or is that Shor judged with 23 people? Now, the Gemara ends off this Shaila. Sounds like it doesn't conclude one way or another. There's a Machlokes, the Rambam seems to leave the Halacha out. Some people assume that for sure the Rambam means that Shor Shal Kohen Gadol needs 71. Others, I think, assume it's sufficient with 23. Now, the Gemara later on, the later Prakim discusses what's the halacha by the shor of a trefa. A trefa is a person who can't survive more than a certain span of time, and the halacha is that because he can't survive for that long, that sort of interferes with based in accepting eidos that incriminates him, and therefore if he commits a capital offense, since he's anyhow not going to survive for a long time, and therefore it's eidos shiyata yakal azima or other such reasons, so therefore, Beis Din cannot convict him based on the testimony of Eidim. Beis Din can only convict him based on their own citing of his crime. So the Gemara says that the same thing applies, that if the Shor, if the axe of a trefa murders a person, so then that axe cannot be convicted. And what that shows us, it seems that a person, that we don't just say that there's a Gzeres HaKasov that tells us that just like an Adam who murders is convicted with 23 people, so too an axe who murders is convicted with 23 people, but rather that this Gzeres Shava between the Adam and the Shar tells us something more fundamental. It doesn't simply tell us that we should equate acts in with people, but rather it tells us that to some extent when an axe murders, so that's considered to be as if the owner of the axe murdered. And therefore, when we're judging the axe, so we need 23 people just as if the owner was being judged. However, if the owner is a Kohen, so it needs 71 people, because just as if the owner were being judged, because the acts of a Kohen Gadol that murdered, in some sense, is equal to a Kohen Gadol that murdered. And the same thing, the acts of a Trefa cannot be judged at all. That's what the Gemara says later on. It can't be judged at all, because the acts is sort of considered like an extension of the Trefa, and just like the Trefa can't be judged, his acts also cannot be judged. So this relates to a very important chakira about the nature of why people are chayev if their property damages. One of the famous tzedadim are as follows. Reb Shimon Shkop declares this chakira in the beginning of Maseches Bava Kamma, and many other achronim ask the same thing. The one option of why you're chayev when your property damages is because of your own negligence. Because you were negligent, you should have guarded your property and prevented it from damaging, and you neglected to do so. So therefore, that initial act of negligence causes you to be liable to whomever suffered on account of that negligence. So that's one pshat. If that were the case, so then it doesn't really tell us anything about this Shar HaNiskal, the Shar that murdered, that has to, you know, be killed. Your negligence, you didn't guard your shar, therefore the shar needs to be judged with 23 people. It doesn't work out so nicely. A second possibility is that basically there's some blame here. Something needs to be accomplished. A person was, you know, damaged, or a person was killed, and somebody needs to bear the blame. And you, as the owner of this axe, are the person who's most to blame in this case. Or at least who's most in a position to, you know, to be required to fix what was broken. And therefore, we're mechayev you, not necessarily because of your negligence, but because you are the most likely candidate for the obligation to fix what your property broke. A third possibility, which is suggested by Achronim and elaborated on by Yosef Brandstein in an article that he wrote a few years ago, is a very, very interesting pshat, and that argues essentially that a person and his property in some senses are considered to be separate and distinct entities, but in other senses are considered to be all one entity. So just from like to bring in a mashal, you know, Ba'alma, to help us understand this better, so we learned that the donkey of Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa refused to eat certain things that were ma'achalos asuros, even though donkeys don't have any mitzvot per se. But this donkey was so, you know, sensitive, he didn't even want to eat machalos asuros. And what caused him to be that sensitive is the fact that a person's property has a certain shaychus to them, to the extent that a person's property can identify in some sense with the person himself. And we see from the Akamara that it has impact in the spiritual realm. So based on this mahalach, and there's a lot of interesting halachos that can be explained based on this, but l'cha'ora, you know, based on this, obviously we saw it's not b'toras bal davar. A person can never be a bal davar on their property. They can be a nogeya b'davar, but not a bal davar, because if that were true, if a person could really be a bal davar on their property, so then we would say that just like a person is not ne'eman to incriminate their wife, they're also not ne'eman to incriminate their property. However, a person can be a nogeya b'davar to his property. There is that level of his achdos. When it comes to questions of nezikin or of mamon, so in general we say that we don't say, let's say when a bor is chayef for killing somebody, we don't say kemisas bailim kach misas habor or anything like that. There, the bar seems to be judged separately, but when it comes at least to shar, so there we see perhaps a higher level of integration between a person and his property, and that would explain why we have these, you know, three gemaras that all seem to say that when we talk about kemisas bailim kach kemisas hashar, that doesn't only mean that we take like sort of a dry halacha from Mises Bailam and apply it to Mises Shar, but rather it means that to some extent, when we're judging the Shar, we're actually sitting in judgment upon the owner. And just as a little Tosefes, the Lashon of the Pasuk might be a little bit meduyuk this way as well, because the Pasuk says, when a Shar murders, Hashar Yisakel, Vagamba Olav Yumas, that the Shar should be stoned, and also the owner should die. And then it says, Yim Kofer Yushas Olav. And we darshan, we don't really mean that the owner himself is going to die, we just mean that he should pay kofar, and the Gemara elaborates upon that. So I think that maybe based on this idea that somehow or other between a person and his shar, a person and his animal, because a shar is just an example of any animal that belongs to a person that commits murder. So in some sense, when we kill the animal, you know, in order to atone, for its actions, in some sense that may be considered that there actually is a mises bailim, because there is some form of connection between the person and his property, and especially between the person and his animal property, and that might explain, you know, that there's more simply than the Torah writes. Well, you know, the bailim, you know, should die, and you know, but we do kofar. It could be that in a sense the bailim really is, because part of his property is being killed and is becoming, you know, aser behana. I think the iser hana plays into this as well, and that may be a symbolic action in a way, sort of like cutting off a part of the person in because that part of the person or the animal, part of his property because of the crime that it committed. Okay.